First Thessalonians chapter 4. Tell me some things people look forward to. Give me some events people look forward to. Heaven, absolutely. When you're a young person, you look forward to getting your driver's license. Was that a big day? It was for me. I remember getting my driver's license. That was a big day. People look forward to getting married. You know, that's something all people look forward to. Look forward to Christmas and birthdays and all those kind of things. But there's something that trumps all them, so to speak. It's beyond everything else, and that's the coming of the Lord. Verse 13. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and Father, your word is truth, and we can learn and grow as Christians. And Father, I thank you for your word that you've given to us, and the word of the Lord abideth forever. So bless us tonight as we gather around your word. And I pray that we could have hope during these troubled times and understanding of what your plan is for the believers, the church. So, Lord, thank you for this time we can gather around it. And, Lord, bless it and help me to honor your Son and your word through this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I remember one of my Bible teachers in Bible college, maybe in this very verse here, said, "And I'd have you to be ignorant, brother." He told the story about there's this Baptist fellow talking to this brethren individual, and the Baptist said to the brethren, "You know what the Bible says?" He goes, "Look right here. It says, 'I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.'" And the brethren says, "My Baptist friend, I want to tell you something here. There's a comma between that." And there is. So, "We're not here to be ignorant, comma, brethren." And but you know, God wants us to know something here, and He doesn't want us to be in the dark. He doesn't want us to be blinded to this. He doesn't want us to be not having the knowledge of what God has for us. Now, we're living in the church age, and in Romans it teaches that during this time God has set aside Israel for a season, the church age. Has God cast off His people? Paul says, God forbid, He's not cast off His people. But right now, during the church age, this is the church age. And here in these verses here, Paul's speaking to Thessalonians, and they were upset here because some had thought that the resurrection already passed and they weren't taken up. Warren Wiersbe tells a story that at some camp, I'm not sure how they all did this, they must have really worked hard, but this actually happened to a camp director, that some of the other staff on the campground, while he was away, they staged this. They put all these clothes out in the campground at random places. They had a boat in the lake that was tied up, that was going around in a circle. And they knew when he was getting back, and they had the kitchen, all the pots are boiling, and everybody's clothes are like just right there. And so the camp director comes back, and nobody's at the camp. They were all hiding, watching him come back. And he said, and the camp director said, for a moment there, it was so eerie, because everywhere he walked, there was just a pile of clothes here and there, and a boat just going around in a circle. And he thought, oh, no, did I miss the rapture, you know? And they really did it good, because he said it, for a while it really had him. But then they, you know, let him know this is all a joke. But anyway, so, yeah, that wouldn't that be a strange feeling? But what it says right here, when I have be ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep, and fell asleep in Christ. Now, that's an interesting phrase. Why is believers spoken of being asleep after they die? Okay, death is temporary. Yes, death is temporary. It's not permanent. And I don't know if you ever thought about it like this. Now, God is our heavenly what? Father. What do fathers and mothers do for their children at night? They put them to what? To bed. You ever thought about God putting you to sleep for a time? Now, in a sense, when we're asleep in Jesus, when we die, our bodies are laid in the grave. The Bible says to be absent from the Lord is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, with us here tonight, if any of you went to heaven, would you want to come back to this world? No. Not even for a moment. Because the glories of heaven are so much greater than what we have here. You know, none of us would trade what we have in heaven. None of us would ever want to come back. And Paul, what did he say? I'm in a strait here. I'm betwixt two. To depart with Christ is far better. But then he looks here and he's saying, well, you need me right now. I want to be here for you. But he had this longing to be in heaven. But sleep is a beautiful metaphor for us as believers to picture. It's a beautiful picture of what we are in Christ, that when we die, we're asleep. Now, the body's sleeping, but the spirit's not. Would not they be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope? Has anybody ever seen a Hindu funeral or heard about a Hindu funeral, how Hindus do funerals?
Is that where they burn them?
They burn them. And I talked to George here one time, Pettigrew, and he was telling me about Hindu, because he used to live with Hindus in India. And he said it's the most awfulest thing. He said in the neighborhoods, in their backyards, they burn the bodies, and the stink would go everywhere. He said it was awful. And he said it's the awful wailing and crying and wailing and just terrible. And, you know, when he was sharing with me how bad it was, I just thought, others which have no what? No hope. And, yeah, we as believers, do we have hope? We do. We do have hope. And if our loved ones have gone on before us, you know, what a blessing they died in Christ. And they're asleep now. Our Heavenly Father put them to sleep. And one day He'll wake them back up when the spirit and the body are reunited. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's His death, burial, and resurrection, even so them which sleep in Jesus, again, that phrase, will God bring with Him. Now, think about this for a minute. If He's bringing them with Him, what does that imply? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So He's bringing them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, it's God's word, He says it, that we which are alive and remain. Now, is there any alive and remain here tonight? Is that us? That is us. We're the alive and remain. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which have died in Christ. So God's going to bring them back. And this is what's going to happen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He on earth or in the air? His first coming, in the air, the second coming, He's going to touch His feet upon the Mount of Olives. This time, it's in the air. He doesn't come down to earth. So basically what you have here is you have the saints of God, the dead in Christ go up, then we which are alive and remain will go up. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Now look at the voices here in verse 16. The Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, a command. Now when He raised Lazarus from the dead, it said He cried with a mighty voice, a loud voice. It's going to be the voice of Christ, then with the voice of the archangel, and then with the trump of God, the trumpet of God will so sound. You know, these voices that will go forth, that we as believers will rise again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, don't get hung up on this, because some people that is the word rapture in the Bible? Rapture is what type of word? It's a Latin word. And what does that Latin word mean? Caught up. What does Scripture say right here? Them which remain shall be what? Caught up. It's just a way of saying caught up. So if anybody tries to get you to say, the rapture's not found in the Bible. I had a man one time try to trip me up. I just sensed where he was going. He says, I got a question for you. And for one reason, I just knew where he was going. I said, yeah, I believe that people are caught up. Then he goes, is the word rapture in the Bible? I said, I just answered your question. I said, they'll be caught up. I knew where he was going. I just knew he was heading down that road. And I said, yeah, I believe people are caught up. Then he didn't know what to say because I took all the fire right out of his argument, you know. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so to meet the Lord in the air. so we shall ever be with the Lord. Turn over here to Book of Corinthians here for a moment. Now, how fast is that going to happen? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. How fast is that going to happen? 1 Corinthians 15:51 says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's a good verse to put over in nursery, right? We should not all sleep, but all be changed. I'm just joking here. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." How fast does your eyelid blink? Yeah, it's fast. Like a 40th of a second, your eyelid. That's fast. And just that fast, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. That's what we looked at in 1 Thessalonians, raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, why is the old body put into the grave? Why does it go into the grave? Because when we get our new body, what kind of body is it going to be? Glorified body. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to that glorified body, because this body is a thorn in my side sometimes. Somebody once said it like this, "I drag this clod all around with me." You know, because the will we will to do, what did Paul say? I do not. What I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Anybody identify with me? Do you know how I feel? And Paul felt the same way. And now, when you take like a corn seed and you put it in the ground, does what grow look like what you planted? But does what grew have the essence of what was planted? It does. And we're planted in the ground. When our bodies go in the ground, we're like planting. You ever thought about that? You're being planted in the ground. But that resurrection body is going to be, have some, the life of it is extended through that, but it's totally different from the seed to the actual plant. And twinkling of an eye. You know, when photography got better able to capture high-speed cameras and things, They, I don't know if you ever seen the famous bowl of milk, and they drop like drops of milk in the bowl. You ever seen that? And how many times the drop goes up and down? Like when we see it, it just goes droop. Like, but if a high-speed camera, it goes up and down like 7 times before it settles. But in our eyes, we can't see that. It's just like drop and it just drop. But it actually goes like this. The high-speed cameras can pick up what our eye can't see. How fast are we going to be changed? Just that fast, a twinkle of an eye. For this corruptible, this our flesh in this present world with this sin nature, must put on incorruption, a glorified body that will not have the capacity to sin, that won't have the capacity to lust, that won't have the capacity to think evil thoughts, that won't have capacity to hurt people in the sense of saying things or doing things we ought not. An incorruptible body, never decay again. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You ever looked at death as an enemy? You ever thought about that? It's an enemy, but it's conquered. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that shouting ground for us as believers? That's something to be thankful for. You know, do we live in discouraging times? Well, we sure do, but I'm looking for our Lord to come back. That's my hope. That's my joy. You know, we can focus on the corruption of this world, and it's only going to get what? Worse. But in it getting worse just shows what God said is going to happen. It's going to get worse. The tares and the wheat are going to grow together. The wheat's going to come to maturity, but the tares are also. And so what did God want us to do? He gives us a victory, but until that day appears, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast in these changeable, unsteady times we live in. You be steady, unmovable. You're fixed on Christ, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm moving ahead, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does God want us to do till he comes back? Keep what? Give me a way to say it. Keep what? Keep on keeping on. What's another way to say keep on keeping on? Stickate?
Stickate.
What's that?
Greek for be steadfast.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Stickate. Okay. Okay. Stickate. All right.
My Bible teacher used to tell us that all the time.
Okay.
That's why it came out.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. What's another way to say we're not to give up? Keep pressing on. Okay.
Be steadfast.
Okay. What's another way to say that? Be faithful. Absolutely. Be faithful. You know, God's looking for people like that because our labor, it's hard work right now. It's not in vain. It's not worthless. And, you know, sometimes we can be so discouraged in our lives. We think it's worthless. But God doesn't want us to go there because he's coming back again for us. And wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back and we were in a prayer meeting when he came back? And somebody said, do you get to heaven? And somebody says, where were you when the Lord came back? Oh, I was in a prayer meeting, you know. And it's going to be embarrassing for some people when the Lord comes back. Where were you at? And they'll say some worthless place they shouldn't have been at, you know. And that's not going to be a good way to, when God calls you home. And we need to be serving the Lord faithfully. You know, it's so easy to get discouraged. But look up, your redemption, what draws nigh. And he's coming back again for us. Now, what is stopping the Lord from coming back? Nothing. There's no scripture. There's no prophecy that's waiting to be fulfilled. They have a term for that. What's it called? The what? The int? Help me out here. What's it called? Imminent? Imminent return. Imminent means anytime. Could be tonight. This could be our last time we're here. Sunday night meeting could be the last time. You know, be looking up. I'm back over here in Thessalonians. verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The body of Christ, the church age, comes to a close at this point. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do we need some comfort during these days? We sure do. It's just incredible what we see in our nation, what we see even within the church, see across the land here, America. We need to comfort each other. And so with that being said, if the Lord could come back any time, and we look at 1 Corinthians 15:58, should that motivate us to do what? If he can come back at any time, what should our motivation be? If he can come back at any time, what should we be motivated to do? Be ready? Share the gospel? Be ready? Share the gospel?
Be busy about the Lord's work.
You know, there's a certain urgency that's built into the Christian life, if we're serious. And what I don't want to be is a lukewarm Christian. I'm not hot, I'm not cold, I'm just kind of here. You know, I'm not against the things of God, but I'm not for the things of God, I'm just here. And how does God feel about people that are just here? They're not doing anything against, but they're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, they're just here. In Revelation, he calls them lukewarm, and what does he say about it? Makes them sick. You know, if we really believe the coming of the Lord, then it should affect how we live, and it should affect us to be more zealous and have more zeal and to serve the Lord. Because in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, your labor is not in vain. It's not worthless. And we can get distracted. We can get discouraged. But God says, keep laboring for me. I'm coming back again. So if you're a little discouraged, what can you do? Look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And we look for him every day. And that's our joy and hope. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've looked at here tonight. And Father, you can come back at any time. Our Lord Jesus can come back at any time to redeem us. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the hope of Scripture and the promise of the eternal Word of God, that you're coming back to take us home with thee. Father, until that day appears, may we be found faithful and fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, not slothful in business. And I just pray, Lord, that we would honor you and that we'd have that urgency about us to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, that we would see that time is growing short here as we see what's unfolding around us, God, knowing, Lord, that as persecution increases, so does the time that our Lord's coming back for us. So, Lord, may we be faithful and may we be fervent in spirit for you, God, and may we get the gospel out, Lord, to a lost and dying world. And Father, may we serve you with our whole hearts, knowing the time is short and the needs are great. Lord, help us to labor to this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.